good to be back with you again, and it's good to keep in touch with Nigel still. Isn't it wonderful technology, FaceTime? I can still see his face when I call him, and so it's great, and it's great to know that he's doing well. And it's good to know that when you walk with the Lord and you obey God, things work out. And that's the sum of this psalm. Some of the psalm is David learned exactly what it meant to lean upon God and to walk according to God's ways. Now, there's so much in Psalm 27. I spent probably all week on Psalm 27, and I've got to try and condense this in a little minute, so we won't cover all the psalm. I just want to pick some juicy bits out of this psalm, because it's just so much in it, isn't it? It's just, seriously, I mean, I can speak till 3 o'clock if you like. It's entirely up to you, but I should suggest that that won't happen. So, Edward, do give me the nod. I am looking at that clock. I've got one of these Disney watches on, but you have to charge them. And of course, I charged it and then walked out and left it in the house. So, not really much good, is it? But it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. So, I'm gonna start by ending, so that basically you've got the gist of my conclusion. So I'll do my conclusion first, okay, and then we'll switch back. The wonderful thing about Psalm 27 is a word called wait. Now, it doesn't mean we sit and do nothing. Wait means that you are relying and trusting that as you go about your normal day of business, God will act on your behalf. And that's what David found, and that's why David kept saying, wait on the Lord. It doesn't mean to say he didn't go out the house. I say it every morning, but I still have to go out of the house, down to the church, and do some work. I can't just say, well, God, when you tell me you're going to keep me safe today, I'll leave the door. That's nonsense. What I say is, Lord, I'm waiting on you today for my protection and my provision and for everything that happens to me. And then I go out knowing that I'm not relying on my own power, my own strength. I'm waiting that when every situation occurs during that day, God will act on my behalf. Am I making sense? Because otherwise, I won't leave the house. If that word wait is the way we think in the English, it's not the way that David meant in the Hebrew. He meant that his dependence and his trust was totally on God. Nothing else, which is why David was so successful. And he knew, as we will go through this psalm, what it meant to wait and rely upon God to act on his behalf as he daily went his daily business. So that's the conclusion. So I want you to go out and be encouraged today that you say, God, I will wait upon you for my protection today in this awful world that we seem to find ourselves in at the moment. I rely upon you for my protection. And as I go about my daily business, I believe that you will act on my behalf. I won't run in front of you, I won't run behind you. I will simply believe and trust that God is acting on my behalf as I go about my daily business. And we're going to find out in this psalm. So, that was the conclusion. The sermon's a bit longer. Let me start by asking you a question, because I'm getting really tired of this. Every time I go somewhere, they want me to do a questionnaire. They want me to tick the boxes. Have you ever... They want me to put it on TripAdvisor. I go to a hotel, and then they want me to write this huge form out and then put it on TripAdvisor for their benefit. We seem to be full of life of questionnaires. I'm governor of a school, and our school, we've got this questionnaires in our school when you go for meetings. We seem to be a world where we're always wanting to ask questions. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the phrase, it ticks all the boxes? Have you heard of that phrase? Well, this is David's ticking all the boxes. Psalm 27 is actually a psalm from David which ticks all the boxes. Everything that he needs in life, everything that he believes in, everything that he trusts in, is in this psalm. Psalm 27 for David ticks all the boxes. If my family don't support me, I still trust in God. If my enemies come against me, I will still trust in God. I can jump over a wall. My stronghold and my dependence is in God. In my past, It was in God. For David, Psalm 27 ticks off all the boxes. And if he had to rate it, he would rate it as a number 10. And it's why the psalm is such a beautiful psalm. It starts off with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." It just starts off with this awesome bit of who David believes his God is. It ticks the boxes. For David, God's light and God's salvation was simply in the God that he trusted. And in the end of the psalm, he says, "Because God is my light and my salvation, I can wait upon him. I can trust him. I can rely upon him. I can go out tomorrow morning because he is my light and he is my salvation." And he just ticks all the boxes. And for David, it was refreshing to know where his trust. Here we sing a song, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in God. And that's the song we sing. It gets a bit bouncy and etc., etc. But the words are right. In David's day, some trusted in chariots. Because in those days, they were always fighting. Some trusted in the chariots that they had in the big army. Some trusted in their big horses, the Arabian horses. But David was saying, "I neither trust in horses nor chariots. My trust and my salvation is in God. God ticks all my boxes." And my first question to you is, does God tick all your boxes? And I want to talk to you this morning about a little story. A girl called Hannah. Hannah is 10 years old. And she's just a sweet child. And she goes to school. And there's a bully there. And every day this bully says, "I'm going to beat you up, Hannah. I'm going to get you. You won't know. I'm just going to get you. One day, you better be ready. Because I'm going to get you." And every day Hannah had to face this bully. She was waiting for the day that this bully would come and carry out his threat. So one day the bully said, "I'm coming, I'm coming." Well, Hannah never flinched, Hannah never cried. Hannah said this. "Okay," she said, "I just want you to know this. Whatever you're going to do," she explained, "I just want you to know that God is on my side." Word has it, the bully never came. The threat never materialized. You see, for Hannah, she waited upon God. She just simply said, "Whatever you need to do, just remember, God is on my side." Hannah, a 10-year-old, knew that God was her light and her salvation and her dependence. She neither got into a fluster, nor did she break down in tears. She just said, "I believe there is someone higher than the person that is against me." And that was David's outlook in this psalm. Let's take a look at the first verse, please. Because these are the things that David suffered in Psalm 27. They are the same things that you and I suffer with today. And that's why I want to encourage you. If you know Jesus as your Savior and you personally invite him to your life, you, like Hannah, can say, "Whatever you do, remember this, God is on my side." Isn't it wonderful to know that God is on your side? And that's why you can wait upon him. That's why you can rely and trust in him. And these four things, David suffered tremendous darkness as he carried out his life. He suffered many dangers under the hands of his enemies. And at many times he felt so deficient. In fact, he could say, "Oh Lord God," he was saying, "my enemies are so strong, how can I withstand?" Read Psalm 42, Psalm 43. It's my two favorite psalms. They are meant to be together. And David said this, "But I will put my trust in God. I will put my trust in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." David says, "Although the darkness and the danger, a sword is trying to kill me. Although I have a deficiency in the number of men who are with me compared to those who are against me." David said, "I will put my trust in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." David's dependency and trust and waited was in someone that he knew personally as a God who was able to deliver him. And when you read this psalm, read it in the context of that David is really telling you his testimony of how great. We sing the Chris Tomlin song, "How Great Is Our God." I don't know whether you sing it. "How Great Is Our God." And David knew all about the greatness of God. The Lord, let's say this together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Hannah said the same thing as a 10-year-old girl. Whom shall I fear? And you and I will maybe not have school bullies, but we'll all come across fears. My fear is flying. And my wife's always wanted to go abroad. I'm quite happy to stay on the ground. I believe gravity was given for some reason. But my wife likes to fly. And I have to tell you, I get to an airport and I just go to pieces. I do not like airports at all. They just freak me out. And I have to sit at the airport and actually do this. It's something that I just don't seem to be able to cope with. But I do, because I put my trust and my hope and I wait upon God to get me through the daily thing. You see, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and David is using this as a signal of deliverance from darkness. You see, darkness is a biblical sense of evil, a symbolic sense. And David was looking back at his life. Do you remember David when he came across the bear? He came across a lion. And David said, "God rescued me both from these things." David never uses the words that he killed the lion and the bear. He said, "With God's help, I both killed the lion and the bear." He waited and trusted that as he went around his daily business, whatever came across David's path, David knew there was a God who was looking after him and would preserve him and would give him the ability to do whatever was needed in the circumstances of life that he faced. And can I tell you, it is a conclusion, but it's true. If God is your light and your salvation, then you believe that God is the one who is able to take you from whatever situation you find yourself in and provide a way of escape. Because that's what the light and salvation meant. David was saying that in the darkness times, "I've got a light, I've got a God who can show me the way. I've got a God who can deliver me salvation, God who can deliver me. Therefore, why should I fear?" Some of us have woken up in New Zealand to one of the most horrific acts of terrorism. We have a friend in New Zealand, and Christine rang her this morning. She was telling me, and she was saying her daughter rang. She says, "I'm in the middle of Christchurch town. We're in lockdown. I don't know when we're going to get home today, but I am safe." It's a terrible, horrendous. We have knife crime that is going on in such an alarming rate. It's an epidemic. You go to New Oscott Village and people are, not New Oscott Village, so a little bit further from New Oscott Village in Tesco's, and there have been two or three young ladies just taking their children and putting them in the car, and people have come in and grabbed them out of their car and took their cars away. Right on our doorstep. Now, we can either go into panic mode here, or we can actually say, "I believe that I'm still going about my daily business." Because I believe, like Hannah, we need to know this. God is on my side. David had a lion and a bear to face, and he killed them. The same man could go in front of Goliath, a 9-foot giant, and say to him, "Listen, you've come with me with your big spear, your big javelins, but listen, who am I coming with?" God says, "I'm coming in the name of God." That's what David said. "I'm coming to you, Goliath, not with a spear, not with a bow. I'm coming in the name of God, whom you have defiled. And today, God will deliver you into my hand." There was a confidence, not an arrogance, a confidence in God this morning. For David, he ticked all the boxes. God ticked all the boxes for David. He would preserve him. He would provide for him. He would ensure that whatever God had planned for David that day, David knew he could trust and rely and wait upon God. It's the only way that gets me out of my door in the morning, can I tell you? The epidemic that is going on in our world today, it's completely gone mad. But I don't want you to live in fear. Because God says no. God says, "Listen, if God be for me, who can be against me? Since it is God who justifies me." We need to have that total reliance. And you may say, "Well, that's a bit like having a crutch." Thank God I have a crutch. Because some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, some trust in their own strength. Some people rely upon other things to get them through life's day. My crutch is God. I rely totally that when I get up in the morning till I go back to bed in the evening, that my God will provide for me all that I need. Therefore, whom shall I fear? You see, I'm not going to meet a lion and a bear every day. Well, I hope not. I suppose Kidderminster Zoo would probably be the only probably time I hope, but I'm not going to meet a lion and a bear every day. But that doesn't mean to say I'm not going to have trouble. That doesn't mean to say danger's not going to come. This verse says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, not a lion that David faced, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Next verse, please. The verses are not meant to frighten you. They're meant just to encourage you. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. I believe there's a darkness in our land, and I believe it's satanic. I believe we are living in dark and dangerous days. And we can easily get frightened and fearful. But amongst all of this, David says, they that wait upon the Lord, they that trust upon their God, shall prevail and see the goodness of our God. This is what he said. You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. I don't like that particular bit. It's a bit. But what David was trying to say is, listen, please, people, please, we're men and women being saved by a great God. If we're children of God, then we're in the hands of our Father. Jesus said to his disciples, all that, Father, all that you have given me, I haven't lost any. That's why he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd looks after his sheep. And he went on to say that, listen, everyone who belongs in my sheep, everyone who belongs in my family, has my divine protection, has my divine provision. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Does he tick your boxes? Because you can say it, but do you believe it? You see, there's a saying called, seeing is believing. It's not biblical. It's the other way around. Jesus says, believing is seeing. Thomas said to Jesus, now that I've seen your hands in the holes, now I believe. Seeing is believing, said Thomas. Now I believe, I've seen it. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, blessed are those who believe and not seeing. You see, I believe in a risen, resurrected Jesus. That's what I believe in. A risen, resurrected Jesus Christ. I haven't seen him, but I believe him. I trust him. I'm utterly dependent upon him, but I've never seen him. And that is what the faith in the gospel. Because anybody can say, well, I believe in God. The devil believes there's a God. But he's yet to put his trust in him, and he never will. Believing is saying that I haven't seen God. But I believe that there is a God, and I'm prepared to put my trust and my faith. David, as far as I know, never saw God. But David put his faith and trust in the God who he said was his light and his salvation. He ticked the boxes off. I want to ask you this morning, where does faith start and where does faith end? Because for me it ends in a resurrected Jesus. You see, if I didn't have a Bible, as many Christians in Africa don't, they still believe in a risen Jesus, a resurrected Jesus. For 3,000 years, the Bible was not in print. And people went to the Colosseum under Nero and were eaten by lions. Thousands suffered persecution. They never had the Bible like you and I have. But what they did have is what you and I have. They believed and a resurrected Jesus Christ. And my faith is built on that. Therefore, he is my light and my salvation. I think we've only covered this first verse. I said there was just so much to cover. So I think we'll probably just need to wrap this up. I want to put a verse of scripture on if we can. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Is Christ Jesus the one who drives you? Is Christ Jesus the one you depend upon? When times of darkness come, when times of deficiency come, when times, as my wife and I have experienced, we came to Lucerne, we could not do anything for us. We were totally and utterly dependent upon the surgeons, or dependent upon the chemotherapy, or dependent upon whatever it was. We were deficient. We just could not do anything to help our situation. But our hope and our trust. And my wife said, the thing that got me through this terrible year was my faith. Was my faith. The one thing you could not take away from my wife was her faith. It was her crutch. She said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And can I tell you, you might think this is a bit weird to say, but even your death is a joyous occasion. Because the Bible says, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? It just means I'm passing from this stage of life to a greater stage of life that is yet to come. The angels are waiting to blow the trumpets. The day that you meet your Savior, the day that you come to your death, the angels are there ready and waiting, ready to welcome you into a glorious future. And there's a fantastic chapter in a book by Max Lucado. The book's called Come Thirsty, and he deals with this whole subject of death and how we've turned it in negative, and he spins it around into a positive, letting you know that we're united with God whom we love, or hopefully that we love. We have an eternity where there's no more sorrow. There's no more war. There's no more pain. There's no more sickness. We are as we meant, always meant to be. And he opens it up like this. The angels are waiting to welcome you in to the glorious new beginning that we're about. Death, where is thy victory? There is something when you belong into the family of God that not even death can fear. Because of the Bible says, what shall I fear? What did he say to the disciples as we close this up? As he rose again from the dead, I want you to notice the word fear not appears more than any other as he comes to his disciples. They were waiting for a resurrected Jesus. And Jesus, as he constantly came into that room, said, fear not, fear not. As John was taken in AD 96 up to heaven, he says to John, fear not, for I am, let's say this together, we need to get this into our bones this morning so that we can go out into a world which is mad, knowing with full confidence in the God that we trust. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Friends, we've got a God, a resurrected Jesus, exalted at the highest throne of heaven, looking down on you and me, on his people, protecting us, providing, ensuring us. The Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you trust? Only in God, because he's a resurrected Jesus. I keep saying this, and you're probably sick of hearing me saying it, but your faith has got to be built in someone who has died but is living. He's resurrected. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered the final thing that makes life that people fear. Sorry. And that is death. Death is a thing we all face. It's a thing we'll all fear. But Jesus says, I've overcome. I am he that liveth. And because I live, you too can know the fullness and the blessing of a gracious and almighty God this morning. David, thousands of years before Jesus went to the cross, looked forward to the day. Read his Psalms in Psalm 22. Read his other Psalms. David knew something about a resurrected Jesus. I want to tell you, friends, he ticks all my boxes. Jesus just ticks my boxes. I found him to be someone who helps in times of trouble. Through a time of darkness, a time of desperation, a time of pain, God pulled me through. He doesn't offer me an easy life. Being a minister is not easy, because we've got to deal with you people. Life isn't easy, is it? But the one thing I have above all else is that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? As Hannah says, I want you to know this. God is on my side.